I kind of go back to what I said earlier in terms of the relationship stuff. I think building relationships, from what I've seen so far, kind of builds that trust with students, and it just allows them to know that you maybe care for them more than what they think you do. And so by that, it's kind of getting to know their hobbies, as I said, and just what they like to do outside the classroom, what they're like inside the classroom, who are their friends maybe, even things like that. And then for myself and my two placements, I found that that helped me to challenge them.
Listening to the NZPE Teacher Cast, a podcast sharing some of the inspirational stories from amazing teachers and educators within New Zealand and around the world. Today's episode is sponsored by My Study Series, an online learning platform supporting Kiwi teachers and students through NCEA. With online achievements and badges for completing key tasks, My Study Series ensures students are highly engaged and motivated to learn. Check it out now at mystudyseries.co.nz.
Kia ora everyone, welcome to episode 29 of the NZPE Teacher Cast. I've got a pretty special guest here today. His name's Jack Stewart, and Jack Stewart at the moment is actually a labourer, he tells me. But the interesting thing about Jack is that he is just finished his teacher training, and he actually has a job next year, and that job is within our school, Rongotai College, and he's in the PE department with me, which is going to be really exciting. And the reason that I wanted to bring him in and interview him is, first of all, it's like a second job interview and I can learn a little bit more about him, but also what we're going to do is interview him again in 6 months' time, and we can kind of just find out, first of all, whether I've managed to break him or not, and second of all, whether his perceptions or his feelings around teaching and education and stuff like that are similar to when he came into the profession. So, Jack, welcome to the podcast. And so why don't you just introduce yourself, tell us a little something about you that we might not know, and maybe finish with telling us maybe what your education was like growing up.
Sweet. As you said, I'm pretty bad labourer at that. I myself, as you said, Jack Stewart, I'm from the mighty Whanganui, born and bred there. So all through its schooling years and everything in Whanganui. And something interesting about myself, I would go for something random. I think my dad always did crazy events, and we did like a 3- and 4-seater bike around Lake Taupō. So that's something that would kind of push me around. And that was like during primary school. So
who was on the bike?
Myself, or Dad led the front. He was the only one that could steer. So the rest of us were just strapped and pedaling. I was in the middle, and then two of his mates were behind us.
Nice.
And that was some of the funniest and scariest moments of my life. I can remember crying multiple times as a child on that bike. So yeah, we always did kind of crazy events like that, and that's kind of where my sport passion started. And then going to my kind of like schooling history, I've been co-ed all throughout. So coming to an all-boys school is slightly different. And after school, I kind of always knew I wanted to do sports science of some degree. So I went and did that at the Polytech of UCOL in Palmerston North, which I really enjoyed. It was kind of had that more practical sense to it. So I enjoyed that, and the relationship that you have with your lecturers was just amazing. And then this year I've just come in to do a postgraduate diploma in secondary school teaching at Victoria. One more paper to go, so if I pass that, the job is secure.
So, oh, I didn't even realise that. You haven't gotta retract that offer, mate.
The pressure. That's right, I've been good throughout, so we'll just finish strong, but yeah.
So education for you growing up was, you enjoyed it, you've got fond memories?
Yeah, I was definitely that kid that was just stuck in the PE gym all the time. I remember year 13, I think I had about 3 or 4 PE papers of some different degrees, from health education to outdoor ed to sports education, I think, or something like that. The teacher made something up and kind of got us students, instead of having like a study break class, we had another sports class where we could kind of work in our schools and had different things.
What school was that?
Whanganui High School.
Okay.
it was a huge kind of school. It wasn't great for sporting, but yeah, I really enjoyed myself.
Nice. So where did the decision to become a teacher come from? Was it something that you always wanted to do, or was it something that you kind of just fell into?
I wouldn't say I fell into it, or it wasn't something that I wanted to do. As I said earlier, sports science was always my main path. I knew I wanted to do that, but beyond that, I didn't know. So I remember going into sports science and them saying, "What do you want to get out of this degree?" And I just remember I had no answer, and I just kind of sat there and made something up on the spot. But I knew I didn't want to do anything like becoming a PT or something along those lines. But my major thing for me was I kind of got into it. I've kind of said to you before that I had an internship with the Manawatu Jets basketball, and that working in that kind of industry was exactly where I wanted to be. So working with the pros and doing strength conditioning work was something that I really enjoyed doing. But I actually went to Hamilton last year to do a postgrad in strength and conditioning, but I lasted a week and I just knew it wasn't right.
Why? What did you know wasn't right about it?
A few things kind of like building about around the course, because I actually got a scholarship to go do it, which was amazing.
Was this at WinTech?
Yeah, WinTech. It was the first year they run it, and it just I just knew it wasn't right at the time. I don't know what it was. It was just you kind of get those feelings sometimes, and I thought it was better for me to get out of there now than kind of know 6 months down the line or 3 months down the line and kind of adding to that student debt, then realizing it wasn't right. So I kind of made a call pretty quickly. And I think I've made the right call now. But going back to your question about the teaching, as well as doing the senior team, I worked with a lot of school kids, and they were kind of like my project from my lecturer. I was allowed to do whatever I wanted with them. And I built the relationship with those kids, and that's kind of like when I realized last year, once I got back from not doing the Hamilton degree, I kind of realized that this teaching is something that I want to go down to. I enjoy working with the kids. It's something I'm passionate about. And it's just kind of where it came from.
I think teaching and coaching, they're two very similar experiences. You know, you're trying to educate, you're trying to inspire, you're trying to motivate, and all of those things fit really well. So it was interesting that you made that point around your internship with the Jets, and all of that comes together really. And it sounds like you're now really clear on, and you've got clarity on what it is you want to do, and I think that's going to set you up really well to start your teaching career. How have you found the teacher training experience, and maybe what's been your best takeaway?
Yeah,
I think back to mine.
Yeah,
and see, when I grew up and I was staying in the hut when I did my teacher training, and so I had to come into Vic Uni, and I went, oh, you know what, stuff this, and I I did mine online.
Oh no.
And all you cram it all in on the Monday, and then you'd have the whole week off except for your sections, which were really cool, but I found all the good stuff happened in the sections, and the learning that took place at uni, it was kind of became irrelevant.
Yeah.
So how did you find it, and maybe your best takeaway?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on the terms of like things in class. It was good to kind of give you an idea, but everything, especially in physical education, is different, I think. A lot of the strategies they give you at in class are kind of related to maybe the ideal classroom. You know, you don't have all these variables of kids, and especially in the gym where there's kind of, you got to fight with the noise of a big open space and kids running around and having like, I don't know, 10 balls bouncing around. So I don't think they kind of take that into account. So for me, once I kind of got into, actually Rangitai was my first placement, which is awesome. You kind of get into it and you understand a bit more of what you need to do. And I think that first day where you come into that placement, you really have no clue what's happening. Mm. I remember being asked, oh, what do you know? And I just, I actually sat there and I was like, I really know nothing. You know? Like, I'm so fresh. I'm passionate about sports and sports science stuff, and obviously health, but I had no clue about how to teach it, how to kind of unpack what I knew, and then I guess kind of put that into activities and class stuff. But I think one thing, you've just got to take every opportunity that comes within it. Just be a bit of a yes man for those 6 or 7 weeks that you're actually doing that placement. Ask questions, and I think a lot of people, if someone told me I wasn't doing something right, people can take that wrong. And I think you just have to kind of understand that you're not always going to be right. Not every class is going to go well, and you know, feedback is crucial to kind of improving.
I like that, and I like being a yes man. And I found through the start of my career that even not just the teaching placement, but even through the first couple of years, is just be a yes man. You got to manage it. If you need time to plan and stuff like that, you got to learn to say no. But saying yes to as much as possible, because that's going to get you exposure to different teaching approaches, to different areas within schooling, extracurricular, all of those things are going to contribute to what your I guess the package that you bring to the classroom and all of your tools and your skills. So I like being a yes man, and I always tell a lot of my staff to, you know, just put yourself out there if you can, and if you can manage it. I've never been one to really, you know, I've come across a few people in different industries that are like, well, what am I going to get from this? Yeah. And what am I going to get out of this? And it's not about really what you're going to get from it, but I think maybe thinking about the learning that you could take from it has been a positive, as opposed to the physical reward that's going to come out of something like that. I don't know. Over your time on placement, what did you find out about yourself? What did you learn were your strengths, and maybe even some of your weaknesses, if you're wanting to share?
Yeah, I learned a lot. Some of the things that are surprising, I guess I would say, was very organized, you know, like kind of that comes back to asking questions well in advance. So, because your teachers are already, or the associate teachers that you're placed with, are already busy and they already have a full schedule. So making sure that you're asking questions about what they expect and what they actually want you to do so you can organize. But once I actually got that information, I was kind of, found myself being quite organized to the point where if something wrong happened in class, I had something else for it. Whether that be just a list of random questions that I could kind of use in case, you know, I needed to gather more in-depth discussion, or another activity in case it didn't work, or in case it went too short, or in case kind of the kids just had enough of it. That was kind of one thing that I didn't think. Well, it's not that I didn't think, I guess you just don't know. And the other thing which I kind of would go for is like relationships. I really enjoy working with the kids, and maybe being their age is a little bit of advantage for that, but I think having that relationship with the kids and building it quickly was a strength, and that's something that you kind of need on placement, because you walk into this class where the kids, you know, who are you, really? Essentially, I'm just this guy that's walked in, and now I'm telling you what to do. Really, if they wanted to, they could say, stuff you, I'm not going to listen to anything you have to say. But thankfully, they did, and I think that comes down to kind of getting to know them more than just one student in the class, and getting to know their hobbies and et cetera like that.
We just saw that too. Like, you arrived, and some of the kids were like, oh, Mr. Stewart. Yeah. So you obviously established good relationships with the classes you had here. In fact, they can remember your name 8 months ago.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's pretty good.
I was surprised when I heard my name, so I take that as a positive. Yeah.
And any weaknesses you felt that you're willing to share?
Yeah, weaknesses. My weaknesses, I guess, that probably get pointed out from in terms of what the Victoria program makes huge emphasis on is the kind of Te Reo component. That now, I can't go back a years ago, but I know now that they're putting huge kind of focus on Māori achievement, and that kind of comes down to us as teachers building our knowledge base and learning how to implement that and put in strategies that is that's going to see everyone kind of achieve. So I know that that's a focus that I need to improve on. I think with Hawera, in terms of the PE and health curriculum, we kind of have a bit of an advantage where we have something that we can build off. I'm not terrible at it, but I think it's just something that I want to improve on. And then going into next year, I would say that more things like the daily tasks of the teacher. It's just putting it all together in terms of when you're on placement, you have your AT, you have your associate teacher. If something goes wrong, if you need to know what's next, you ask your associate teacher. They tell you what you're doing next. But next year, I guess a lot of that comes back on myself. Yeah. That means that I have to be even more organized ahead and kind of having a bit more structure in terms of what I'm building into and how I'm building into it. So, yeah.
Have you given much thought to what your teaching philosophy might look, sound, and feel like yet?
Yeah, it's something hard to kind of know that because you have so little time, and you haven't really had a classroom by yourself. But I kind of go back to what I said earlier in terms of the relationship stuff. I think building relationships, from what I've seen so far, kind of builds that trust with students. And it just allows them to know that you maybe care for them more than what they think you do. And so by that, it's kind of getting to know their hobbies, as I said, and just what they like to do outside the classroom, what they like inside the classroom, who are their friends maybe, even things like that. And then for myself and my two placements, I found that that helped me to challenge them. Sometimes in class, I guess, at the start, if you're trying to tell a student to do something or push them for something, if you don't know them, they're less likely to push you, or they're likely to be pushed. But when you know them, they kind of come about, and you know, you can set specific, I guess, challenges or realistic expectations is the right word to use for them, so that they know it's achievable and attainable. But yeah, that's fine.
That's good, and I think you just keep visiting that. Like I still visit my teaching philosophy, or I actually blend my personal and teaching philosophy together, and you always visit it and think about it and then modify it, and I try to make mine as brief as possible, and that kind of, anytime it comes down to really making a decision about what I'm doing in the classroom or what I might be encountering with students or whatever, I can revisit that philosophy, and that helps provide some structure or some guidance for me. So it's good that you're starting to think about it, but that'll grow and develop once you are in front of the classes and you see that the kids respond this way to this and they don't respond this way to that. So
might be 360 next year.
Could be.
we'll see. Stay tuned.
You've had some time working with what I assume is a great bunch of passionate teachers. What do you think new grads have to offer the profession that us old-timers... And when I say old timer, I'm like, I'm only like 36, so I'm not that old. I've been teaching for 12 years, so.
That's decent.
What might us old timers be taking for granted or maybe not even considering?
Yeah, I guess, you know, we may be still able to run around with the kids.
yeah, that's
cool. That's one thing I kind of enjoyed as well, being able to. And
I remember those days.
Yeah.
Very good.
And that's another way that you kind of build those relationships, is when I just jumped on with the within the games and you learn names, because for myself, being a sporty kid, that's my comfortable environment. So building and talking with students in that kind of sense really helped. But the students that I've worked with, I've had a bit of a range, but mostly with the physical education students, they're all coming in pretty passionate, I guess. They're ready to go, and I guess the last kind of, 4 years at least for everyone, they've been unpaid. Yep. That might be something. They've kind of coming in and they have this huge student loans, and they've come off placements where they've loved it, but they haven't been paid. So I guess when you're coming into a profession and now and they're getting paid and they're enjoying it, that's something that they're going to definitely be loving. And new ideas, a lot of kids, the students from the Vic are coming with new research or up-to-date research in terms of their degrees, and that might be something that they can build on with other teachers, and then other teachers can pass on to them. So it's kind of getting those new ideas and just sharing them and being open to sharing it. I guess that's kind of comes with experience, teachers being open to the new teaching methods that are coming through. We had a lot of stuff in terms of the learning environments and a lot of technology stuff. We kind of had a focus on that. So I think Rongotai does it with the Google Classroom and that kind of thing. So.
My last principal, Prue Kelly, who is phenomenal, she would always stand up and speak when the student teachers arrived, and she'd always say that we were so lucky to have them, because they were the ones that were cutting edge and that we as the teachers should be trying to learn as much as we can from these student teachers and the new grads, because and I completely agree, it's you are You're fresh, you're full of ideas, it's very easy, and you'll find this out across the next 4 or 5 years if you end up teaching that long, is that it's easy to become stale and fall into the same thing every single year. And that's the challenge for us as experienced teachers, is to keep pushing the envelope, keep stepping outside of what we feel is comfortable and challenging ourselves. And it is hard, but there's a lot of reward for teachers that are prepared to do that. You're starting off your career at Rangatai College, which is a smaller school, and we've got a department of 4 teachers. We've got well-known school-wide value of brotherhood and some strong Māori and Pacifica culture underpinning it all. What are you looking forward to most about starting your career here?
Yeah, well, I kind of have a bit of a head start in the terms of that I've had 6 weeks here already on my placement, which I really enjoyed in that, because I guess if I was got a job at a school where I'd never been before, that kind of going to the staff room is familiar, kind of navigating my way around the school is different, but being here for 6 weeks, I kind of know where things are, I know a few of the students and I already have relationships, and that I guess allows me to focus a bit more on my teaching. But this school, I've like thoroughly enjoyed it so far, in terms of I've had a lot of help from all the PE members and with kind of ideas for things, and that sense, and the students have been amazing, and especially in the gym, and there's some talent in those boys. I think one thing that I said once I got back to uni after the placement is I could chuck any activity, anything at the boys, especially some of the level ones, and they absolutely nailed it. And it just, you know, sometimes you have an activity on piece of paper and you just, you know, this is how you would ideally like it to go, never goes that way. They just nailed it, and it just looked good and made me look good, I feel, probably better than what actually was happening, but that kind of sense. And I guess it's going to be, working at all boys, it's going to be a slightly different challenge, or it may have its challenges or it may not. That's something that I guess I don't know until I work longer, but I think I really enjoyed the time that I was here, and I look forward to kind of extending that.
I think you'll find it's easier. And I definitely agree with you. When I came from Wellington High School to here, and I have, you know, nothing but love for Wellington High School, but the school level of the students there was not on the same level that it is here. And I remember rocking up here, and we were, I think, maybe a touch unit, and everyone was good at touch. There was nobody that wasn't good at touch. And I've been so used to building and scaffolding learning and skill learning from a very basic level, and these kids were teaching me because they're that good. So it's that's really nice, being a PE teacher coming into a school where there is that skill level, sporting skill level is really high.
I think it allows you to put a bit more kind of challenge on the students, in the sense of letting them direct lessons, letting them bring in the knowledge into the classroom to like run activities. I think I did that at my last placement. I had a few boys who were really excelled in touch, and they had drills and even league, and I said, you know, I have drills, but you may have things that I can build on what I'm doing. If this is too easy for you, or if this is too easy for the class, do you have activities? And they kind of took that on themselves, and they didn't have to plan too much because it's things that they kind of do on an everyday basis, and just they kind of love that step up. They love to be in charge of their class. They kind of love to be standing up in front, and I think that's what you can do when you have that high talent and kind of people that want to actually participate.
Where were your other sections? Was it just one other or two others?
Yeah, just one other. I was at Nainai College, which was absolutely amazing, and I love that. That's obviously co-ed school, but that was another awesome opportunity. That was it was slightly different in terms of that it was a co-ed school, but nothing but good words for Nainai College.
Yeah, I'm an old boy, and I know Kitty Shaw quite well. So that was, it's really nice to hear that you had a good experience there. Sorry about the hoop. They must have just finished their, there's a class out in the gym and they're doing their fitness testing, but I think they've just finished and they're shooting hoops, which is going to get noisy in here, so hopefully it's not too bad. What are you most nervous about starting here?
I guess that's that kind of first day, and I guess for everything it's the unknown. I kind of mentioned earlier pulling everything together and kind of not having the AT and classes that are going to go wrong. I think that's something that you don't, obviously you don't plan for and you don't think it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. You're not going to, every class isn't going to go to plan. Your backup plan to your plan may not work. And so I think maybe those kind of days, and I guess that's when you're really going to find out if this is something you're passionate about. Maybe it's not even a bad day. Maybe it's a bad week. So I guess that's something that's nerve-wracking. And I guess your place for the class, four classes or however many, I don't actually know, at the start of the year. And, you know, if that's a bad class, or I don't want to say bad class, but if that's not a class that maybe goes so well every day, that can kind of become something that you're almost, I guess, dreading maybe. You know, I've been lucky across my two placements to really enjoy every class I've had. And I guess you have to find within each class something that's different and that you're really looking forward to. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And there are bad days and bad lessons and bad weeks and bad terms, and you have all of that, but it's about being able to reflect on why you felt they were bad and being able to learn and take something from it. There's a learning experience in everything, even the good lessons. So it's just teachers who are willing and prepared to reflect on what has gone well and what hasn't gone well are going to be, you're setting yourself up to be successful. Your reflection is so important. Before we get to the last question, is there anything I might have missed that you want to mention, or is there anything you want to ask me?
I'd like to reflect on your first year. Can you remember, like, this going into it in terms of what changed? I guess coming straight from the kind of idea about this podcast, is how did your philosophy or how did your vision change over the year?
Yeah, I was very, very similar to you by the sounds of it. I came in to a full teaching load because I was a maternity cover, and I started at Wellington High School.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Wellington High School existed.
Yeah.
You know, it was not on my radar at all. Teaching wasn't really on my radar. The memories I have of my first year were just being in a classroom and just yelling at kids because I had no strategies.
Yeah.
I had a really supportive HOD and assistant HOD who were good, but I probably didn't ask them for enough help.
Yeah.
And I think if I had to do that year again, I would be asking more questions instead of just thinking, "Oh, I can get through this. I can do this myself, and I'll look better if I can do it myself." Like, I just cringe now thinking about being in that classroom. And it wasn't until like halfway through that I realised there was a vent into the room connected next door. So I'm yelling at these kids and the other teacher's probably just going, "Oh my gosh, what's going on in there?" I think as the year progressed, I started to acknowledge some of my shortfalls a bit more and was more prepared to help. But then just getting stuck into the coaching and all of those sorts of things and being that yes person like we had talked about earlier, that really helped me build relationships with the students, also with the teachers, because that's one cool thing about teaching is you kind of come into this family and you have colleagues that are really supportive and want to see you succeed, and they're there to help you.
And
the sooner you can recognise that, the better you're going to be, I think.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps a little bit.
That's awesome. Be ready for a lot of questions next year.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, last question. You're about to start a job which pays reasonably well and has almost 12 weeks of paid leave, and I always chuckle to myself on the 5th of January when everyone's gearing up to head back to work and I'm still getting paid to sleep in and play golf. What are you planning to do on your first paid holiday, which I assume isn't until April next year?
Yeah, I guess. That's a great question. I'll be looking forward to a little bit of income so I can have more than jam sandwiches each day. But they're still going strong and still getting me through each day. I think by this point I'm actually starting to feel my teeth going a bit. So I think I may not have enough money to go anywhere or do much, but I'm sure it'll be sleeping, going on dental bills, my phone's slowly dying on me, and you won't have the parent support anymore. So,
yeah, true.
I think a lot of it, I'm sure I'll be absolutely stuffed by the end of that first term, and I'll just be looking forward to having maybe sleeping in a little bit and getting some good food.
Nice.
That's gonna be it.
Hey, Jack, thanks for stopping by. I know it's you're still busy at the moment because you've still got to get paid before you can start your job.
That's
you're working and you've got that last paper to do. I'm really excited about having you on board next year. I think we've got two new young staff who are going to contribute immensely to the department, and I think just even talking to you now and hearing about what some of what drives you and some of your feedback around some of those questions, I think you're a really good fit. I think the kids are going to love you. The obviously those relationships are still there with the kids, and you're going to have a good time, I think. So I'm looking forward to next year, and I'll be in touch soon.
Awesome.